Blog Talk Radio.
This is May in New York, a gorgeous day, and it's Columbus Day. Great day for a parade here. How about you, Cynthia? Where are you in Nashville?
It's a beautiful day in Nashville. It's actually cool. It's sunny. The bugs are dying. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a great day yesterday. It was obviously John Lennon's. He would have been 76. Yesterday, and his son Sean,
wow,
as well has the same birthday. And but we celebrated Breakfast with the Beatles with Ken Daschau on our local station here, our big rock station called Q104 Classic Rock. And 7 o'clock in the morning, they're rehearsing. There's Mark Hudson singing. It was amazing. So Mark Hudson, Stevie Van Zandt, Liberty DeVito playing drums, from the Billy Joel band. I mean, there were John Colbert. It was a lot of people up on stage, and 7 o'clock in the morning, they're singing hard rock and roll. It was really funny.
It looked like a lot of fun. It looked like a lot of fun.
It was
really
great.
Did.
I mean,
Stevie Van Zandt never changes, May. He looks the same as he did like 20 years ago.
I know, and
he
it's very funny. He was so dying to ask me a question about something about John and the too many cooks, and he was so, he kept turning to Ken. He goes, I know I have to go on. We got to go for this question, but I got to ask this one other question. It was very funny. So
funny.
It was good. I had a great time. Met a lot of fans. There were a lot of great people there. And I want to thank Steve Walter from The Cutting Room because, he does the Breakfast with the Beatles. That's where they hold it. And that's where, my birthday parties are held. Me and Steve, we celebrate it because this is the day before mine.
Yeah,
so,
and you're starting over at year one now, right? Isn't that how this
yes,
goes now once you get past the starting point? Yeah,
that's
I'm
right.
All for
I'm
that.
I'm starting all over
I'm
again.
All for that.
Yes.
Well, listen, Chicklet, I know you've been busy this week, and actually part of it has to do with our guest today, because
yes.
our wonderful agent, Gary Raychak, he sets up some great peeps for us, and this particular guy has gotten so much chatter with our listenership. Let's see, he's a Music Hall of Famer, and some are saying he's the father of country rock, which I'm really interested in talking to him about because living here in Nashville and seeing how country music has changed and being a non-music person, I'm curious about it. But even better than that, he's got his kid here with us today.
Oh,
and I have a feeling the
fabulous.
Bragging rights
are
going to supersede anything about him. But anyway, without further ado, we would like to welcome Richie Furay of Poco, Buffalo Springfield, the list goes on, and his fantastic daughter, Jessie Furay Lynch, who has a self-entitled album that she's releasing. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you so much
for
having us. This is fun. I'm like listening, and we're on the radio in New York, and we were just there a few days ago. So
that's right, and it was great. I mean, and you're being managed by someone I also know very well, David Spiro, so it's
David
really,
Spiro.
I mean,
he's a rock star in his own mind. I mean,
exactly.
No,
we're going to get him on. I'm going to get him on because we talked about that. I said he's got some great stories too. So, we all go back, back there, and we talk about all the old times. It's fabulous. Listen, I love your show. I loved it at the City Winery. I loved listening to how you got there, being in New York, living in the village in the apartments and then, hanging out with all the other guys.
Oh, it was when I think about it goes back so far that it almost seems like another lifetime. But it's the trail that I took when I left my little hometown in Yellow Springs, Ohio, which is a pretty well-known little town. with the home of Antioch College being there. But and then going off to New York to simply be a folk singer. I just loved music, just wanted to play music. And I thought I had hit the big time when I hit this little club on West 4th or West 3rd Street called the Four Winds, where you pass the basket to make a living, right? And I thought,
oh, right.
I thought this was it. Oh.
You know, you were definitely here at a time. It was music. New York City, you could just walk down the village. It was Dylan. It was everybody. It was just the Loving Spoonful. That, you know, when you think about when John Phillips wrote that song, you know, Creek Alley, and how everybody got, you know, everybody's down in the village, and you talk to everyone, and it was a real family type thing. You knew everyone too. So
yeah, you just walked on the street, and they'd be on the other side, and you just wave to them and say, hey, hi, how you doing?
It's true. The Bitter End, Café Wa, there was the Night Owl. You know, it was just great. That's a type of a time frame that I wish we could have back, but, you know.
You can't.
Yep.
That innocence is lost. It's lost. And you know what? It's so great that you guys got to experience it, but even better, and this is a question for Jesse.
Yeah.
How was it growing up in a house where you had this famous dad, but you yourself was kind of toying with the idea of getting into the family business?
That's funny. I mean, and everyone always asks that, you know, what was it like growing up as, with Richie Thierry as your dad? And, you know, I mean, it's funny because, you know, he kind of took a break from the music industry for a while, for a couple of years, and became a pastor. And so when I was growing up, that was pretty much, you know, I knew him as a pastor. And then when I graduated from high school, that's when he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was kind of like, oh, all right. So this is like, he really has quite a big history here. And, you know, it's pretty exciting to be a part of that. And so, I mean, you know, obviously he was always singing around the house and playing guitar, and still, you know, music was a big part of his life. And I don't know if it's, you know, I don't believe it's, you know, necessarily genetic, the love for music, but I definitely loved, you know, hearing him sing, and I loved singing myself, and so I would just kind of sing around the house. And, you know, I kind of wanted to go into musical theater, and that's when I moved out to New York, and I wanted to be on Broadway, like everyone else in the city. So I gave that a shot for a while, and, you know, I kind of got that out of my system. So I don't know if I necessarily grew up with, like, a huge passion saying, this is what I want to do, I definitely want to do it, just because it wasn't, he was more of a pastor, you know, as far as my my father figure goes. But I mean, I knew that there was always something in me, that music was always going to play a role in my life. I didn't know where God was going to take it, you know, and I still sometimes don't know where he's going to take it. But but I know that it's going to be a part of my life for the rest of, you know, my days. So.
Wow. Now I'm going to tell you guys straight up, I have nothing musical. May is the music maven. There's nothing. I mean, I'm like, you know those things that they have, those giant blow-up things that wave in the wind, they like bend and everything in the wind? That's me dancing, okay? So I'm always fascinated by what drives someone toward music. Like, it has to be something, Richie, that's just in your blood. It's got to be, because I try as I might, it's nothing. I got a tiny harmonica that I carry on my keychain, and I
taken away. What was it? Didn't they take away your tambourine when we were doing one of the songs?
Oh, cowbell, May. I got fired.
The cowbell,
from the
sorry.
Cowbell. Yeah. You know, what was it, Richie? Did you come from a family that loved music? How did it come about?
You know, my dad liked music, but, I mean, he wasn't musical. He wanted me to play trumpet, and I told him, I play trumpet if you'll get me a guitar, and because I wanted to play guitar. But he loved music. There was radio. We always had the radio, you know, going on, and he loved country music. I didn't even, you know, I mean, I didn't think about it at the time, but I remember he gave my mom a tape recorder one year for Christmas. Now, what he gave her a tape recorder for, I have no idea, but I confiscated it, and I would sit in front of the radio and I would tape WING, Wingy Wing, in Dayton, Ohio, you know, and it was the big station there. And I don't know, music got into my blood then. I don't know what happened. I remember, you know, just watching Ozzy and Harriet and seeing Ricky Nelson, of all people. I mean, I loved Ricky Nelson. I thought that, golly, if this guy can do this, I can do it too. And I remember seeing him one day playing the guitar, singing over this little baby crib, singing Bebop Baby. And the next thing I know, he was at the high school gym auditorium. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I got to do that.
Gee.
You know, but it was just something that was in my it was something that I had a passion about. I let it go at one point when I was growing up, because everyone around, you know, when I was growing up, it was sports. Everybody wanted to play sports. So I put my guitar down after, you know, my parents did get me a guitar when I was 8 years old. But I put it down to pick up a baseball glove and to play basketball and be just like everybody else until I went off to college. And then it was the folk singing, you know, era of, you know, the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary. And that kind of, you know, just really started to, it just continued from there. But it was something that was definitely in my blood, and I had a passion for it enough so that, you know, I was going to leave town and go to New York, and they thought I'd be a folk singer and set the world on set it on fire.
You know, May, he reminds me, May, of your boy crush, Paul Cowsill. They have they have such an enthusiasm. See, that's what I hear. I hear the enthusiasm for it. And I think that's sorely missing now in a lot of musicians. And I'm saying that word with quotes on either side of it because, gosh, guys, I got to tell you, I'm not really impressed with a lot of things these days. You know, so, May, you were there in the time that he was talking about. You were there. So you guys actually got to experience a time in music that I really think is gone.
It's unique.
Gone forever.
Yeah.
It's unique in history, for sure.
Absolutely. I think from the and I always say this, the 50s started it because you got some of a lot of the great doo-wop singers and the girl band and the boy bands, but in the sense when they're bands, I'm talking about real singers when they played real orchestral music behind their music in the studio. This was not when you listen to some of those 50s, the Shirelles, the Johnny Maestro. Those are real singers, and you hear real music. And then it goes into the 60s where you go into the from anywhere from the Beach Boys to obviously, the Beatles changed the whole world of what was going on there.
True.
And then you go right in, and then it was so prolific back then. And then you go into the 70s, which brought up a whole nother crop of rock and rollers out there and music and consciousness of what's going on. And you can relate to every one of these bands and musicians. And every one of us could actually remember you heard a guitar riff, and all of a sudden you go, I know what song it is. I can't tell the difference now. I really can't. I don't know.
Yeah, really. I hear you. I agree with you exactly.
I mean, you start off with, you know, like, for instance, For What It's Worth. You play those couple of notes. Oh, I know the song.
There's that one.
We could do it. We set the show, you know, how many notes can you identify? We could all do that in, like, two notes, and we're done. Yeah, and you listen to the lyrics, they mean something. And I say this even now because when you look at the commercial world, when you watch TV and you hear the commercials, they're not really using – they use a few of today's music, but even what they do is they use a lot of the old, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, 70s and the part of the 80s. They use the music that we could remember, the lyrics that we could remember because it's so recognizable. That because I can't tell in today's music, only a few.
It's interesting. Today, I really believe, and maybe I'm just getting old, I don't know, but it's whatever happens, it's here and it's gone, and you don't remember it. But we're talking about music that happened that you still remember today.
Yes.
And it was music. You mentioned Johnny Maestro. goodness sakes, I love that guy's voice. I remember when we were taking Jessie up to New York, she went to school at AMDA up on up around West 70, what, 2nd or somewhere up there, right across the street from the Beacon Theater. And Johnny Maestro was the window at our hotel. We stayed in the Beacon Hotel right across, right next door to the Beacon Theater. And Johnny Maestro was on stage there, and it was just great to hear that voice, you know. I mean, 16 candles or whatever. You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The 16 candle, I mean, I was very lucky to, in these last years, you know, to be able to go back to watch a lot of the, I go to the oldies shows and I love them. And one
is that
of my
why
co-
you were at the City Winery?
Now, I didn't
you
say
like
you.
The old, you
now,
like the oldies shows, huh, me?
Yeah, there we go. But you know what? I got a chance to see my good friend Lou Christie. And, you know, you hear him say, oh, right, Lightning Lou, you know, and he's out there and he's still singing and he still hit those notes. And I just saw an old neighbor, Jay Siegel from the Tokens, who sings, you know, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. You can't believe because their voices are still the same and they can still hit those notes. And I just love it because I can relate to it. Again, it's that you can relate and you can read all the words because it brings you back. The minute you hear, when you started singing, it just took me back to that time, and it was a very happy time. And I was a, you know, it was a time that I just remember. Well, you know, it just takes you back there, and it was good.
Music had defining moments. There's, you know, that's what it was. It defined moments. And again, maybe I'm just getting old, but the music today. I mean, I to tell you the truth, I can't. I don't listen to much music today to know what's going on, but so I live in the past.
This is the past. Good gracious, you
there's
know.
There's nothing
we love
wrong
it.
With there. There's nothing wrong with that. And,
I listen.
And here's a little hey.
What about the
Ocella? My son graduated from AMDA in Los Angeles a couple years.
Oh really?
Ago.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Small world. But
very
you know
cool.
what, Richie? I think the music now is mean. It's mean. And I don't think that the music back now, maybe we just got softer brained. I don't know. But the moral ambiguity in music now is disturbing. It's alarming and it's amusing at the same time. Jessie, as a young performer, how do you feel about that? What do you feel? Do you feel a responsibility to put out a positive message?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's just really who I am as a person too. I mean, I definitely would want, you know, to be looked up to as, you know, a role model with good, you know, with a good lifestyle and good morals and just a belief in God, you know, too. Absolutely. I mean, it's that wouldn't even, there's no other way but to be a good role model.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear that on her CD, you know, just the music that she selected and chose to sing, you know. I mean, it has definitely a great positive message to the whole project. That's just who she is, and that's who, you know, that's who we are. And that's who, when I started Poco after the Buffalo Springfield broke up, you know, we were in some real turmoil times back then, and I wanted Poco and anybody that came to hear the band to be able to take a moment of relief. I know what's going on outside the four walls of this auditorium or this high school or college gymnasium. We played every SUNY in the state, so you know, but I wanted people to be able to say, okay, I can go in here and I can just. I can catch my breath from what's going on out there and have a positive outlook about what was, you know, about what the future held.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I listen to you sing, and it's just there. You know, you people listen because you have something to say and you sing it and there are words that we understand, you know, it's words that we could live by, you know, and hear what's going on. Your sermon. It's your sermon and singing.
That's
to me is a great way when you listen, you know, that's why I love the Carol Kings of the world, you know, when she used to sing Up on the Roof and all. I could relate. They're singing stuff that I don't know how to write it, but they can. You guys can. I can't do it, you know, but I could relate to it. And that they're saying what I feel. And listen, that's how the Beatles, when you think about it, the Beatles to this day are just so big. There are how many Breakfasts with the Beatles across this nation?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Exactly. How many Beatle bands are there? That's a testament to them, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we had a good friend that just left the Denver area who had a Beatles for breakfast, you know, Dan Mitchell. He was on the mountain back here in Denver, and he's in Dallas now, but he had that same show, you know. I mean, just the impact that they had, it just lives on and lives on and lives on and lives on.
And it's fabulous, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good songs. People remember it. It's kind of weird to hear. Though I must say that you'd say to some of the younger set, have you ever heard of Ringo Starr, George Harrison? No. And it just sort of hits the space. That's frightening to me.
I have another daughter who teaches high school, and she always invites me down. You know, during the end of the year to just talk about, you know, they bring in this old antique here to come in and talk about, you know, the 60s. And anyway, it's been interesting over, I say, the last 10 years of going down there. You know, you'll mention somebody, and 10 years ago, and today I'll mention somebody, you know, people are pretty familiar with John Lennon, but like you say, George Harrison, I don't know if I know them or not, or him or whatever. It's kind of interesting how you know, just the time lapse that's happened. You know, even my friend, I'll mention Neil Young. Neil who?
Right. Oh, my God. And I'm just
noise.
Thinking
cricket
would,
noise.
Yeah. How about this weekend? What was it? Is it this weekend and next weekend? They got Coachella. Oh, they call it Coachella. That the Coachella. It was and how many people still go to? I mean, think about it. You got Roger Waters. And you have McCartney, you got the Who. Who else was on that bill? The Stones. I'm sorry, and you have that. Yeah. Amazing. That's everybody's wish list at that. You know, from back then. If they keep that up every year, geez. That's why touring. I think that's why, like the Eagles and yourselves and everybody that goes up, everybody comes to the show, because we really still. It's what's relatable. For this grouping here, and it's still a powerful group.
Yeah,
we are
love it when I can, you know, come to town and even see the City Winery, you know, full.
Yeah.
You know, the people still want to come out and they want to hear the music. And so, I mean, even though I say I'm old, I still try to stay current, because even with my release that I released last year called Hand in Hand, you know, I mean, it's all new music that I've written. And I have to write that so that I stay fresh, or else, what, I'm just going to dry up.
It's true. I mean, you know what? But it's true, but it's good music, and people will come out and listen. And that's a difference. With the new streaming, with the new everything, you get a new audience. And all you have to do is take one, and it's that domino effect. And you're singing. Your music, Jesse's music, oh, what a gorgeous voice. I was just so blown away by it, Jesse.
Thank you.
It's great. It was great. I just loved it. I really do. I love when the family members, you know, get on board with, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, it is.
That's so neat.
Pretty special.
I wouldn't even want to probably do it today if she wasn't along for the ride.
See? Here you are. You're the pull engine on this one. You're gonna take it along. And I think it's great, because I missed a lot of it growing up, you know, because being a Chinese, my mother wasn't letting me out the door. So I'm getting a chance to go back to seeing, you know, people I cared about. I listened to the transistor radio was stuck to my ear, and that's where I was. That's what I was listening to, but I couldn't go out and see everyone, and at the time. But you know what? I'm very lucky. I get a chance to meet, talk, and know some of them as personal friends. So I fell into it, and I'm happy.
Yeah,
that's where.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, it is.
We would say Jesse, you have big shoes to fill, but it sounds to me like you have shoes of your own. And you got some heels of your own, girl. What's going on now, Richie? Where are you guys going to be next? And Jesse, is the album out now? Can we get it? And where can we go for it?
Yeah, it's definitely out. You can get it on my dad's website, which is richiepure.com. You can download it on iTunes, and I believe it might be on Amazon.
Yeah.
As
oh,
well,
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. Mhm.
And CD Baby.
Oh, listen, it was already sold out at the City Winery. There was no record. There was no CDs
yeah.
to be had.
That's
so
right.
It was really
just
a good
them up
record.
At those first shows that we did, they just took them on, didn't leave anything for us.
Well, that's
so
good.
Thankful for that. Yeah, it was a great support. So yeah, all those places that you can go get my CD. So if you do, I hope you enjoy it.
And we're looking for another distributor right now, and think we have one who is even interested maybe in putting it out on vinyl. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's still work ahead, and we just want to make it available and show. I'm so proud of her talent. It took us a while. We were working on this for some years, and then she started having babies. And then
yeah.
we had to put things on hold, you know. But, you know, as far as what's on the horizon, you know, this is one of those years when I'm not really planning too far out, because Nancy and I are actually going to celebrate our 50th anniversary this coming year.
Oh, God,
and,
wow.
And, you know, we just need to take some time, and as my, you know, song Hand in Hand, that's the title of the album that I just released last year, just talks about Nancy and I's relationship today. You know, we're still going at it. We're still hand in hand, still in love, and so we gotta, you know, we're gonna take some time, and probably not until spring will we start to really look at, you know, going out and doing a lot, you know, more concerts. That's what we want to do, and we got some things that we're hoping to do, and maybe some double bills that we'll be able to work with some people, because. At the City Winery, we had four of us. We do have a full band, and when we're, you know, full band, I like all kinds of opportunities. You know, the intimacy of the four of us, and then when we have the full band, you know, it takes on a whole different complexion. We had played just a week before at Red Rocks out here, before we took off on this tour for 6 days, and so it's you know, we're looking to do some things with the band next spring, and to just, you know, play as long as people come out and hear us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I sat next to your lovely wife. I didn't even know it was she was your wife. Then it was great. We sat there, you know, because we heard some stuff from the stage, and we both looked at each other. Lovely. Oh, my God. It's great. 50. God bless. I'm telling you. Many more.
Hey, it's really been quite a ride, I'll tell you. It's
pretty cool.
It hasn't been without its, you know, ups and downs, but that's
life.
How marriages go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could total up mine, and it might come close, but it won't be, you know, all one. But that's a whole
right.
other story and a whole other show. Hey, listen, guys, will you come back and keep us posted on, you know, what? And if you ever come to Nashville, will you please let me know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We will, for sure,
for sure,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
I record all of my records. Actually, Jesse's record, most of it was recorded in Nashville with some of our good friends down there, and every record that I've made in the studio since 1996, I have the same group of people, Michael Rhodes and Pete Wozner and Dan Dugmore and, you know, all these guys, Chris Luzinger, Dennis Holt, just a bunch of great guys that always come in and they just play my music, and they played Jesse's music, and so we come down there quite often, so we'll have to come and visit.
That's right.
Yes,
you got to get
definitely.
Indoctrinated into music.
Yeah. Just don't hand me a cowbell, Jesse. I can't promise anything, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, man. I'm not sure how I would handle a cowbell either.
Well, that's,
I'm sure
that's our
be
chief
better than
cyber
Cynthia.
Secretary letting us know we're winding down. So we're going to let you
okay.
guys go. But it was like a thrill to have both of you.
Yes.
Thanks for having us on the show, and we hope to see you again when we're in New York and Nashville.
Yes.
And thanks again for having us on the show. Good meeting you, May.
Yeah, I'll see you again
yeah.
soon. Have
Alrighty.
A good one.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye,
thank
guys.
You very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Cynthia. Bye.
Okay, adorbs, love them. All right.
Yeah, they're great.
I may now have a crush. I'm not going to lie. Okay,
yeah.
You may have Paul Cousill, and I may have Richie Furay. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just telling
all
you,
right?
they
right.
are the sweetest. We're coming down to time, and let me tell you that the next thing I'm doing, obviously right now I know of on my schedule, is Chiller, and that will be at the end of the month, the 28th, 29th, and 30th. And then it's my, in between, it's my birthday. I'm having parties. So, and Denny Serafin is going to be from Chicago's on this Thursday at the Cutting Room, and I'll, you know, and people should go down and see him. He's fabulous. So,
oh, that would be cool.
Right.
All
Leon
right. Next week we have the Vals on, and that'll be awesome. We have a bunch of really great people coming into our lineup, but we are so out of time. We got to fly, girl.
So I'm saying goodbye. I'm signing off. Talk to you later.
And I'm signing off, too. You've been listening to Dinner Specials with May Pang and Cynthia Nielsen on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.